News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Well, this is going to bring on somebody now who has been doing an amazing job, in my opinion, on a variety of levels for the state of Alabama, Attorney General Steve Marshall. He has also been an advocate for life for a number of years. Steve Marshall was a longtime litigator and a prosecutor and appointed to the Office of Attorney General, where he has been since 2017. So we're proud to welcome him on the show. Attorney General Steve Marshall, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Phil. Good to be with you.
Yeah, well, thank you for making some time, and we appreciate that. Listen, I've been telling the audience we're in a post-Roe world, which is an amazing thing to be able to say. You have, as an attorney general, and your staff have been fighting the fight along the way, and I want to thank you for that, first of all, before we go any further. You even took on a bill that was my bill, the Dismemberment Abortion Act, some years ago, which was enjoined, but nonetheless, now we're in a post-Roe world. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I tell you, Phil, in some ways, just thinking back to the last week, I mean, this has been a seminal moment for the conservative legal movement when you saw the decision from Justice Thomas on the Second Amendment that came out, and obviously right. The Dobbs case, and then even yesterday with the case involving Coach Kennedy on the First Amendment. I mean, it's been a remarkable few days for issues that we care about. Now, clearly, what's going to go on now post-Dobbs is getting most of the attention. But the reality is that this court has stepped up on three issues that are critically important to the people of Alabama and made a very broad and strong statement about what the Constitution truly means.
Well, they have, and we've been covering some ground on that, and it has been what I call a smorgasbord of conservative judicial rulings that literally changed the landscape, with even a couple more to go, one of which is even Alabama's redistricting case, which is still out there. Well, Mr. Attorney General, with regards to Roe, there's a lot of questions for people about the enforcement of Alabama's Human Life Protection Act. Your office has been researching that. Does it even include the Plan B morning after pill? All those things. Talk to me about what it looks like now on Alabama's legal landscape with regards to the Human Life Protection Act.
Yeah, a couple of things I'd say, Phil, on the first front is that it's been our effort to undo those injunctions, as you were referencing the bill that you had passed. You know, the first was to be able to get the Human Protection Act freed from a federal court order, which we were able to do on Friday. You know, we still have a couple other cases that are out there that likewise will be seeking similar relief. And now it really has given us an opportunity to dive into what the legislature did in 2019 to see what now will be the scope of the enforcement actions that potentially could be in place. Yeah, the one thing, and let's make this clear up front, because the left tries to confuse it, this is not a criminal statute directed at the mother. And so specifically, this statute excludes the mother from any criminal prosecution. And so as a threshold matter, we put out Friday that the abortion clinic should shut down because the law of the land now creates a Class A felony for abortions to be performed. And at least pleased with what we know right now that in fact, they abided by our guidance and have done so. And now it's getting into the weeds about what else may be covered. As you mentioned earlier, you know, one of the questions we got early on was the Plan B pill, which frankly I had to learn a little bit about right after that. And we've determined that it does not apply. We've been asked a question about contraceptives, and that's not something that is covered by this act at all. And now we're trying to parse out other conduct and provide both prosecutors, law enforcement, as well as providers information that they need moving forward. So we're having those conversations literally as we speak and working to develop guidance for those who have questions about what potentially is sanctionable criminal conduct and what otherwise is not.
Well, so let me ask you this. Has there been any pushback? Because you came out the gate. I mean, literally, y'all filed, apparently you had it ready, but you had the motion to lift the injunction ready to go on the Human Life Protection Act. And to his credit, I will say this, Judge Myron Thompson has enjoined any number of conservative causes over the years, but to his credit, he didn't waste time. That same afternoon, the stay was lifted. And you know, all of a sudden, the Human Life Protection Act became the law. And your office issued a statement saying, as you said a moment ago, sort of a cease and desist, if you will. But then at the same time, did you receive any pushback? Any of the clinics call and say, not today, or we have people already in our office, or did they just like stop cold, as far as you know?
Yeah, we have not received any pushback at all. And you're right about Judge Thompson's action. I mean, between the time that we filed our request for emergency relief to when he conducted a hearing, I think it was less than 4 hours, and he had an order entered less than an hour later. And so wow. We were very pleased with the swiftness in which the court acted, and frankly should have, because the only basis for stopping the enforcement of the 2019 Act was the Roe and Casey precedent that we had seen from the Supreme Court. And when that foundation for the injunction was removed, there was no basis for the injunction to be in place any further. So very, very grateful for the fact the court was willing to act so swiftly. You know, one of the things that, unlike other states, it had kind of this 30-day provision before the laws were going into effect if Roe was overturned. You know, Alabama's was basically 4 hours, and very, very pleased that we were able to get that relief as quickly as we did. And look, the one thing that we were prepared, and we have been doing our homework on that front for a while, and really proud of our Solicitor General and his team in getting that done.
Well, and I agree. And Mr. Attorney General, remind me, but my recollection is we actually, a few years back, while I was still there, I believe, we actually passed a constitutional amendment that was adopted by referendum by the people. That literally embeds into our state constitution that our state does not see a constitutional right to abortion in any capacity. Am I correct in saying that's constitutionally grounded in Alabama?
It is, and I'll tell you why it was so important for you to do what you did when you were in your former role, and that is to avoid any kind of effort to use the Alabama Constitution as some linchpin for someone to argue that there is a inherent right to receive an abortion. And so by passing that constitutional amendment, what you're able to do is to give us the ability to push back if for some reason somebody filed that claim, to be able to say the people of Alabama spoke and the Constitution is clear. And what that language said was that there is nothing in our Constitution itself that serves as the basis for somebody to claim they have a right to an abortion.
Yeah, it's really there's a very bright line in Alabama's law, I think, by comparison to some of the others. And our trigger laws
were a hair
trigger. Well,
it made it very clear that we're a pro-life state. And I think that was an important, not only legal statement to be able to make, but also as a matter of policy, that we stand with life and that we do that as a state as a whole.
Now, let me ask you this, too, if you know the answer, but over the years, I mentioned one a moment ago, the Dismemberment Abortion Act that myself and Representative Matt Butler carried, and there have been several others. We've passed a number of pro-life bills over the years. Are there any what I would call conflict of laws issues related to previous filings that in some way conflict with the provisions of the Human Life Protection Act? Do we have to clean up the books in any way?
I don't think we have to clean up the books. There is a misdemeanor criminal offense that has been on statute in Alabama for quite some time, which, you know, interestingly, did not have a federal injunction against its enforcement. But I think one of the things that the Human Protection Act did, not only creating that Class A felony, but also in a very broad way, made it clear, whether it be for the provisions of that act or as well as this other criminal law, that enforcement would not occur against the mother. You know, the legislature, obviously, as the Supreme Court has acknowledged, is now the venue for which these abortion debates should take place. And so the legislature has the opportunity to come in and create whatever provisions they think are necessary. You know, one of the things I think is coming is apparently the folks in Washington are ready to plant the flag on this question of the abortion pill. And although the Human Protection Act has been very clear to say that likewise is something that violates Alabama law, the federal officials are taking a different approach. And I would expect when we're looking at some of the battles that we're going to face and ways that we're going to be dealing with Washington, that's going to be one of the principal areas of concern.
And I don't even know. I mean, tell me if you know, is the morning after pill, the Plan B pill, is that an over-the-counter option, or do you have to have a medical prescription and medical supervision to have that administered?
Now, I don't know, Plan B bill is different than what I was just talking about. Plan B really occurs before the act would apply, because I think it only is taken within the first, and Phil, don't hold me to this, but I think within the first 10 days after somebody believed that they could potentially be pregnant. And so that's not what we're talking about, is that abortion that's induced by medicine as opposed to the procedure itself.
Gotcha.
It's a bill that's regulated by the FDA, and the federal authorities want to say that FDA's decision should control, and we don't believe that to be the case. And again, we'll be prepared to deal with that, because I'm sure that's going to be an issue involving multiple states, not just here in Alabama.
No, I'm sure it is. They're gonna find their way, because the truth be told, that the pro-death, as opposed to the pro-life, but the pro-death movement is determined to find some means of continuing what it's had for 50 years. Well, Mr. Attorney General,
the press conferences coming out of D.C., whether it be from the HHS Secretary or President Biden, I mean, they are going to continue this fight, and we're going to be able to push back.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad, and I appreciate the fact that you've got your staff primed for it. But, Mr. Attorney General, thank you so much for spending time with us today, and the best of luck to you, and we look forward to having you on again.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, well, that was good stuff. Copper, go ahead and move us to the break, but I'll just tell you right now, that's just good stuff. And I tell you what's so helpful is I've had a chance to be around Attorney General Steve Marshall several times and see him work, and he is as pro-life as they come. And having someone who is a believer in the cause, not just an enforcer of the law, but a believer in the cause that the law is enforcing, is a big deal for the state of Alabama. And like he said, the bright line is there. We are indeed a pro-life state. Praise God. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.